ಶರಣಂ ನಮಸ್ಕೃತ್ಯ ನರಂ ಚೈವ ನರೋತ್ತಮಂ ದೇವೀಂ ಸರಸ್ವತೀಂ ವ್ಯಾಸಂ ತತೋ ಜಯಮುದೀರಯೇ ನಷ್ಟಪ್ರಾಯೇಷ ಭದ್ರೇಷು ನಿತ್ಯಂ ಭಾಗವತ ಸೇವಯಾ ಭಗವತಿ ಉತ್ತಮ ಶ್ಲೋಕೇ ಭಕ್ತಿರ್ಭವತಿ ನೈಷ್ಠಕೀ ಕೃಷ್ಣಾಯ ವಾಸುದೇವಾಯ ದೇವಕೀ ನಂದನಾಯ ಚ ನಂದಗೋಪಕುಮಾರಾಯ ಗೋವಿಂದಾಯ ನಮೋ ನಮಃ. ರೀಡಿಂಗ್ ಫ್ರಾಮ್ ಕ್ಯಾಂಟು 11 ಚಾಪ್ಟರ್ 28 text number 26.
Yatha nabo vaiva nalambu bhuganair gata gatair vartu gunair na sajjate ಯದಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೈರ್ ಅಹಂ ಮತೇ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ ಯಥಾ ನಭೋ ವಾಯವ ನಲಾಂಬು ಭೂಗುಣೈ ಗತಾಗತೈರ್ವರ್ತುಗುಣೈರ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೇ ಅಹಂ ಮತೇ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ ಯಥಾ ನಭೋ ವಾಯ ವನಲಾಂಬು ಭೂಗುಣೈ ಗತಾಗತೈರ್ವರ್ತು ಗುಣೈರ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೇ ಅಹಂ ಮತೇ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ. ಅಂಬುಭೂ ಗುಣೈರ್ ಗತಾಗತೈರ್ವರ್ತು ಗುಣೈರ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೈರ್ ಅಹಂ ಮತಿಃ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ ಯಥಾ ನಭೋ ವಾಯವ ನಲಾಂಬು ಭೂಗುಣೈರ್ ಗತಾಗತೈರ್ವರ್ತು ಗುಣೈರ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೈರ್ ಅಹಂ ಮತಿಃ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ ಯಥಾ ನಭೋ ವಾಯವ ನಲಾಂಬು ಭೂಗುಣೈರ್ ಗತಾಗತೈರ್ವರ್ತು ಗುಣೈರ್ನ ಸಜ್ಜತೆ ತಥಾಕ್ಷರಂ ಸತ್ವರಜಸ್ತಮೋಮಲೈರ್ ಅಹಂ ಮತೇ ಸಂಸ್ಮೃತಿ ಹೇತುಭಿಃ ಪರಂ ಯಥಾ ಜಸ್ಟ್ ಆಸ್ ನಭಃ ದ ಸ್ಕೈ ವಾಯು ಆಫ್ ಏರ್ anala fire ambu water bhu and earth gunahi were the qualities gatha gatahi which come and go va or ritu gunahi by the qualities of the seasons such as heat and cold nasajjati is not entangled Tatha, similarly, Aksharam, the absolute truth, Sattva Rajah Tamaha, of the modes of goodness, passion and ignorance, Malaihi, of the contaminations, Ahammatehe, of the conception of false ego, Samsmritihe Tuvihe, by the causes of material existence, Param, the supreme translation and purport by the disciples of His Divine Grace. Esi Bhakti Vedan Swami Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai. The sun, the sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water and earth that pass through it, as well as such qualities as heat and cold, which continually comes and goes with the seasons. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of those qualities. Similarly, the Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. Purport. The word Ahammatehe here indicates the conditioned living entity who becomes manifest with the false ego of a particular material body. By contrast, the Supreme Personality of Godhead is unaffected by the modes of nature, and thus He is never covered by a material body and never subject to false ego. As described here, the Lord is eternally infallible and pure. Om Adnyanatmirandhasya Jnananjana Shalakaya Chakshurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha Shri Chaitanya Manobhishtam Stapitam Yena Bhutale Swayam Rupakada Mahyam Dadati Swapadantikam Vandeham Shri Guruho Shri Utapada Kamalam Shri Gurun Vaishnavamscha Shri Rupam Sagarajatam Sahagana Raghunathanvitam Tam Sajivam Sadvaitam Savadhutam Parijana Sahitam Krishna Chaitanya Devam Shri Radha Krishna Padan Sahagana Lalita Shri Vishakhan Vitamscha. He Krishna Karuna Sindhu Dinabandhu Jagatpate Gopesha Gopika Kanta Radha Kanta Namostute Tapta Kanchana Gaurangi Radhe Vrindavaneshwari Rishabhanu Sute Devi Pranamami Hari Priye Vancha Kalpataru Hirscha Kripa Sindhu Bevacha Padidanam Pavanebhyo Vaishnavibhyo Namo Namaha Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadadhar Shri Vasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare 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 Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare Hare. Hare Krishna. The sky may display the various qualities of the air, fire, water and earth that pass through it, as well as such qualities as heat and cold, which continually come and go with the seasons. Yet the sky is never entangled with any of these qualities. Similarly,
The Supreme Absolute Truth is never entangled with the contaminations of goodness, passion and ignorance, which cause the material transformations of the false ego. Hare Krishna. So here a comparison is made of the character of the Supreme Lord with the sky, that how the sky is never entangled even though the elements are within it. The sky is inanimate, doesn't have consciousness. The Lord is conscious. But there are certain qualities in inanimate objects which needs to be developed amongst conscious living beings. Seems like that. You know, sometimes we, at least I used to quote it, that we have made machines to imitate humans. And the machines lack consciousness and emotions. And people love machines and use people. And we say that, you know, famous thing that we should be loving people and using machines. The reason being because you can't be satisfied loving machines, because machines can't love you back. That's why the result is frustration. So, makes me think that when you compare inanimate objects, when you compare machines with emotionless objects with the Lord, the sky is detached, it's inanimate. Okay. But then when you see that in a conscious living being who has the quality to become attached, but if he is detached, then that is worthy, that is laudable. And sometimes it's nice to be like Jada, right? You know, emotionless and everything. When it comes to material life, shouldn't think that we have to be emotionless or anything like that. Example is given by the acharyas. How glorious! I mean, it's so amazing. The acharya is so brilliant. I mean, every time I read it or I contemplate it, it just thrills me. Because the way they explain it, you know, it makes things so clear. Gives you so much of hope that spiritual life is not simply become dead and inanimate and impersonal, like a sky or for that matter, or any of the elements that we compare. Now we are comparing the Lord with. So beautiful example that the acharyas give of a person suffering from jaundice. You see, I mean, he is told to refrain from eating oily things and eating spices. But it is only a temporary restriction. Temporary restriction. That's it. But once you're cured, no problem. Eat oily things, pakodes and spices. No problem, spicy things. It's good. Everyone is eating. But for a person who's diseased, you have to tell him, don't eat spice, don't eat oil. It's not that the oil is not good, it's not that the spices are not good, but because you're in a diseased condition, refrain from these things. So just like that, in a conditioned state, or in material consciousness, we have to refrain from all emotions. We have to become like the sky. There's no other alternative. But to suppress our emotions, temporarily, till we become Krishna conscious, and then we can let all our emotions forth and experience all the variegated emotions that can possibly exist in a living being. Because now we are affected by the modes, and here it is explained that the reason that the Lord doesn't exhibit any material emotions, he's as if like a sky, you can compare him with non-living matter, is because he's not affected by the modes. He's beyond the modes. He's gunatita, kalatita, guna pravishta. Gunadhish. And yes, even by the mercy of the Lord, even His devotees, even though in a material body, can attain the Gunatith position. But He will never be Gunadhish, He will never be Guna Pravishta. That is reserved for the Lord. And that's why we see verses in the Srimad Bhagavatam that even great gods like Lord Shiva aspires to get the lotus feet dust so that they can be purified from the effects of tamogun. Rukmini is praying in her prayers. Yasyangri pankaja rajasnapanam mahanto vanchanti uma patirivatmatamo pahatyai. Yasyangri pankaja rajasnapanam mahanto. That great souls, great sadhus are aspiring. Even Lord Shiva is aspiring for the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord. So, the Lord is beyond the modes. But the Lord says that I am walking behind the devotees to get the dust of the lotus feet of my devotees so that the universes within me and all the living entities within me are purified. Krishna says that. Nirapeksham munim shantam nirvairam samadarshanam anubdajamiham nityam puyeyat angri renuvihi. Nirapeksham, those devotees who are nirapeksha, who have no material apekshas, munim, who are constantly meditating on me, shantam, who are peaceful, nirvairam, who have no enemies, samadarshanam, very important quality of a devotee, and the Lord also, that is samadarshi, is not partial. Anubrajami ham nityam, forever I am constantly following my devotees. Why? Because puyayat angri renuvi, so that I may be inundated by the dust from their lotus feet, so that all the universes within me are purified. Puyayat angri renuvi. So just see the apparent contradiction that devotees take the dust of the lotus feet of the Lord to become purified, and the Lord is saying, I am running behind the devotees in order to become purified. And we know how difficult it is to transcend the mode of nature. Krishna says that. Traigunyo Vishaya Veda. Rise, Arjun, rise above all these. Yam imam pushpitam vacham pravadanti vipaschidaha veda vadaratah parthananya dasthiti vadinaha. Don't be attracted to the flowery words of the Vedas. Rise above the Vedas. Be situated in sitapragnya, gyan, buddhi. All these are the same thing. Be Krishna conscious. So, people today question that how the Lord can be transcendental. He died, and you know, so many arguments. I still remember Srinaji Prabhu once, he was saying many years ago in one class that when he went to Prabhas Kshetra, at the disappearance place of Lord Sri Krishna, there was a board put up there that this is a place where God died. So of course it's self-contradictory. If you call him God, then how can he die? And if someone is dying, then how can you call him God? One of the two has to be true, right? That means he's an ordinary mortal. So there are so many arguments that, oh, okay, Krishna is just a nirakar, parabrahma, who has taken a material body temporarily for giving us knowledge. So all those arguments are there. Therefore, here, by the authority of Srimad Bhagavatam, Amala Purana, that the Lord has no material body. Therefore, He is above the modes. He is above ego. And we know the story of Bhrigu Rishi, who went, was given the task of finding out who is the Supreme Personality, who is above the modes of nature. He goes to Lord Shiva, his brother, and insults him by calling him ill names and saying that, oh, you're untouchable. You smeared your body with all these ash from the crematorium. You got all these snakes wrapped around your neck and your arms. I'm a Brahmin, I cannot touch you. But Shiva is so wild. Oh, takes his Sudarshan, takes his Trishul, ready to kill his brother when Parvati stops him. Then he goes to Brahmalok, Satyalok, and he insults his father by disrespecting him, not giving him the proper respect that the father deserves. And Brahma's face turns red, pink. And being a very learned Brahmin, he could sense that my father is overcome by the mode of passion, anger. Oh, my father is also not supreme. Then he goes to Vaikuntha. Lord Narayan is sleeping. Kicks him on his chest. What an insult. The Lord, through his personal example, is showing how to take insults. Now, it's very rare that someone gets kicked on the chest. Maybe in the college, if you've had some fights in a group or something, when you get thrown down and get kicked or something like that, you know, it's rare, you know, at least Ratoguni people may not have indulged in such a fight, but, you know, maybe get beaten or something. But thing is, the Lord got kicked, the Supreme Lord got kicked on his chest in front of his wife. Generally, you know, in colleges when there used to be fights, it's all for a women, for a girls generally. I've seen it, it's a personal example. Because in front of a woman, the ego is on the top, peaking basically. To be insulted in front of your wife, whom you consider yourself as like the protector, greatest insult. In front of Lakshmi, Bhrigu came and kicked him. But Lord Vishnu is so chilled out, peaceful. So peaceful. And immediately grabs the feet of Bhrigu Rishi and starts massaging it, saying that, oh, my ornaments might have hurt your feet. Brahmin's feet, very soft. Bhrigu Rishi is just shaking his head in astonishment. Oh, you are the Supreme Lord. You are the Supreme Lord. And while he is doing this, he is transcendental. He showed that he is above the modes. He is not affected by anger. But even when he is killing, that is also, he is beyond the mode. We should understand that. We shouldn't, because Bhrigu's wife, what's Bhrigu's wife's name? Kavya, yeah, isn't it? And Bhrigu's son's name is? Shukracharya, isn't it? So in the war between the gods and the demons, Lord Vishnu chopped off the head of Bhrigu's wife. So you see, I mean, he can be quite violent also at times. We have seen it. And when he's violent also, he's beyond the modes. It's not that if he's humble, he's beyond the modes. And if he's violent, he's not beyond the modes. It's not like that. Basically, the point is that at that time, Bhrigu Rishi proclaimed him the Supreme Personality of Godhead. And he, of course, cursed also Lord Narayan eventually that you will take incarnation and, you know, all those things. So, that's why Madhvacharya says to understand and come to the conclusion is very difficult for an ordinary man. Because the Vedas are encrypted. All the scriptures are encrypted. Just as we may encrypt our data on our laptops or our phones, and that's a whole talk about, you know, that the applications that we are using are not secure and be careful and all those things. Everyone is worried about security. So, Vedavyas is also worried about security. So what he did, he encrypted the Vedas. He encrypted the scriptures. No one can come to the conclusion, who is supreme? Someone is thinking Shiva, someone is thinking Vishnu, someone is thinking everyone else. But what is the conclusion? We have to surrender to Guru in the parampara to understand it. Otherwise, you will come to different conclusions. So the Srimad Bhagavatam, Amal Puran is proclaiming it. Otherwise, all these examples can be argued. You can argue upon every example that we give in Srimad Bhagavatam. You can say that, how is it that he cut off Bhrigu's wife's head? Here he's so humble, he's massaging his feet, and there he goes and he cuts off his wife's head there. And he gets cursed also by Bhrigu. So anyway, but still our acharyas, you know, we can't apply logic beyond a certain, ultimately logic, anuman and pratyaksha, you can never come to the conclusion. That is the whole basis of our isn't it? The Lord can be understood only when He gives us kripa. The Lord, that's why Naham Prakasha, the word Prakasha in Srimad Bhagavad Gita is very significant. And He says, Naham Prakasha Sarvasya, I do not reveal myself to the evil-minded person. What does that indicate? It indicates the ascending and descending process of knowledge, which means that Pratyaksha and Anuman is ruled out. Like, for example, if there's a blackout in the night, there's no electricity, and say you want to read something, and you want to search your Bhagavad Gita, where is it kept, or any other book, so you open your drawer and you're looking for it, you can't, because you need light. So then you switch on your torch and you can find the Bhagavad Gita. Right? So you need something to reveal that object. You need light to reveal an object in the material world. But now suppose you want to look at light in itself, like it's dark and you want to see light. So whose help will you take in order to perceive light? You don't need anything else. Light is self-revealing. Light reveals itself. Light is that object which reveals all other objects, but light in itself doesn't need anything else to reveal itself. So also the Lord is like that. To come to the conclusion, who is the Supreme Personality of Godhead? You will need God Himself to reveal it to you in your hearts, for the knowledge to dawn upon within our hearts. This is mercy, this is kripa. However, we can still discuss and, you know, some pastimes about how the Lord is beyond the modes. Something which we can grasp within our tiny intelligence is that how He would treat His devotees. Like Lord Ramachandra, when he was asked by Kaushalya, when he returned after killing Ravan, was asked by Kaushalya, "Did you kill Ravan?" And what did Ravan say? "The great Lankesh, the great Brahmin, the great devotee of Lord Shiva, the great knower of all the Vedas, was killed by his own ego." That was his humility. That was his humility. He didn't say, "I killed you, maine mara." As a Kshatriya, he could have said it. So humble, Lord Ramachandra. We can see the humility of Lord Shri Krishna, being a chariot driver. And during the Rajasuya Yajna, he was washing the feet, yet he was on the chappal stand doing that service. He was washing the feet of all the rishis. Duryodhan said, "I will be in charge of the treasury. I will count, I will see how much, I will make the accounts of all the gifts that was being received." And just see, the Lord is there blissfully doing the service of Padaseva. And here Duryodhan is counting all the gifts in very prestigious service, but then he's becoming envious to see that how much of, gifts Yudhishthir is getting. So, doing a very elevated service, but he's still envious and miserable. And Lord is so blissfully doing the chappal seva, blissed out. So the Lord's humility, how He takes advices. You see, Nakul and Sahadev, when Krishna is sent as a Shanti Dut, so Yudhishthir is thinking, "Krishna, should you go?" Vidur is thinking, "Krishna should not go. Because if he goes, what if they capture him?" The Lord can think, you think he can capture me? I release everyone when they are captured. And they are bound up. So Vidur is thinking, no, he may be captured. And there Nakul and Sahadev is advising Sri Krishna that, "Look, be tactful when you present your logic. You are going as a Shanti Dut. Remember this. And present your arguments in a logical way so that, you know, do this and that." Krishna may think, "Kisko advise kar raha hai?" See, these are all offenses. Acharya says, that these are all offenses actually, which though performed in a very loving way, Krishna doesn't take those offenses. But still, Acharyas are giving a logic from a Leela point of view, I'm saying. We don't apply too much of logic on it. It is offenses. And Madhvacharya says that Bhim never performed these offenses. Or Vayu or Hanuman did not perform these offenses. He never doubted. When Krishna was going, yes, yes, go. No problem. He never doubted the Lord's position. And, you know, that's why sometimes when people say, like, we make comparisons, you know, that Bhagavan is above the modes, isliye Bhagavan ki puja karni chahiye, he is the supreme worshipable. We say that gods are not above the modes. You see Indra, you see Chandra, what they did. Chandra kidnapped the wife of his own guru, Brihaspati's wife, Tara. And Brahma is saying, give back, what are you doing, you fool? And he says, no, no, I will not give back. And because of Chandra, a huge war broke out between the gods and the demigods. All the asuras on the side of Chandra, and Lord Shiv and all the demigods on the other side, other hand, and huge war, and Brahma is saying, give back, don't be so. And then finally, after Brahma gets the wife of Brihaspati back, only to find that she is pregnant. And then we know, I spoke it in the last class also, then the Buddha was born, who got married to Ila, and then Ila was the son of Buddha, who became Pururav, who is basically known as Pururav. And Indra, who was so infatuated by beautiful Ahalya, as we know that Lord Brahma, when he was wanting to create the most beautiful woman, he took the best of all the elements and put it into that one woman, Ahalya, the truly Miss Universe. And when he was looking for whom should he give this girl's hand to, one who is the most sense-controlled, he certainly understood that Indra is not qualified. So he went to Gautam Rishi and said, can I keep my daughter here for just a short while I just cater to my business? It was a test of Gautam Rishi. Gautam Rishi said, yes, my kutir is available. You can use that room. No problem. And he goes on with his business. Gautam Rishi, the great devotee, the great Rishi. And then after some time, when Brahma comes back and says, can I take my daughter? Gautam Rishi says, which daughter? Whose daughter? Oh, I'm sorry. I did not realize she was there. I did not even realize she was there. You take her. She's where you kept her. You can take. Brahma is so amazed that you actually deserve the hand of my daughter. Because you're the most sense-controlled and my wife is the most beautiful, most chaste. Please have her. And then Gautam gets married to her. But then Indra is there lusting after her. The Lord of all the gods. Please, a disclaimer and a forgiveness to Lord Indra that I am not trying to simply find faults with him. Because that is the situation with all of us. Lusty, greedy, all the anarthas are there. The point that I'm just trying to make is that the reason that we say that we should not worship the gods is because they are not beyond the modes. They certainly deserve our respect, but they do not deserve our worship. So Indra, he's lusting after Ahalya, and he's thinking how I can enjoy with her. And then he teams up, he makes a group. Chalo, Chandra, aajao. Murgi banjao. And he went and he crowed midnight. Gautam Rishi thinking that it is morning time for my upasana, left. And in the meanwhile, Indra comes taking his vasanas. And Ahalya, realizing that my husband does not demand such kind of, it's a time for upasana, it is not time for vasana. She understood there's something wrong. My husband can't be like this. She understood that Indra was actually lusting after her. She had already heard about it. And she realized at that time that he's Indra, actually. But she thought, all right, he is a god after all. And to please the gods is every human being's duty. So she succumbed to it. And so therefore Valmiki Ramayana says that she knew about it. It's not that she did not know. But it was a fault on her part in that respect. But still, it was not that she went out looking for Indra. It was circumstantial. Indra came there and plotted and all this scheme was made. And it was circumstantial, certainly. So she became a victim of Indra's lust. And then later on, Gautam came and got angry at her, called her stone-hearted and made her into a stone-like form. So she became a victim of Gautam's anger and she became a victim of Indra's passion. But of course, by the grace of Lord Ramachandra, took her out of, you know, that curse and blessed her. Obviously, we know that if someone has fallen into a well, only a person who is outside the well can take you out. Only a liberated person can give you liberation. Lord Ramachandra is giving liberation from all the sins from Tohalya and all the people, Shabari and everything. That goes to show that Lord Ram himself has to be liberated. Someone outside the well can only pull someone who is trapped inside the well. So we see that the contrast, striking contrast of the Supreme Lord and the demigods. And that's why we say that no one else is worthy of our worship. But people ask this question. मगर प्रभु जी हम लोग तो हनुमान जी की प्रार्थना करते हैं हम लोग तो हनुमान चालीसा वगैरह रटते हैं दैनिक रूप से हम रटते हैं अब क्या कर सकते हैं क्या हनुमान जी की पूजा नहीं करनी चाहिए वो तो हमने सुना है कि वो तो वायुदेव के अवतार हैं वो भी तो देवता हैं बट देयरफॉर आर आचार्य सेज देयर आर फ्यू पीपल अमंग्स द गॉड्स हु आर ऑन द बाय द डिंट ऑफ देयर सरेंडर टू द सुप्रीम लॉर्ड हैव ऑल्सो ट्रांसेंडेड द मोड्स ऑफ नेचर. And Madhvacharya says, Purusha Shukla Traya, Saraswati, Lakshmi and Vayu. And of course, sometimes Brahma is also included in this list, who never fall from the standard of pure devotional service. So that same Vayu, it is said. So that Vayu is such an important position. It is explained that even though Indra is the leader of all the gods, but Vayu is a Mukhya Prana. Vayu is that very air on which all life is sustained. That means he is also the life air of all the gods. If Vayu doesn't exist, none of the gods can also exist. So that means in a sense, Vayu is actually the true leader of all the gods. Not simply because he's so powerful, but also because he's so pure. He never leaves the lotus feet of the service of Lord Ram. And therefore, you see that Hanuman. And then I said that, yes, Hanuman is our Acharya. Hanuman is our Sampradaya Acharya. That same Hanuman takes incarnation as, the same Vayu takes incarnation as Hanuman, as Madhvacharya, as Bhim, as Murari Gupta. And obviously he's so important to us. So nothing wrong if you are a Hanuman Bhakta. Certainly that's very good. Even you will be beyond the modes. And we can see he never changes his position. Like if you see in Ramayana, Sugriv is son of the sun god. Vali is son of Indra. But in Mahabharata, Arjun is son of Indra. And Sugriv, who is the son of sun god, becomes Karna. They have exchanged position. But in Ramayana, Hanuman was on the side of Ram. In Mahabharata, he became Bhim and he's still in the side of Lord Ram or Krishna. That means he never changes sides. He never, never abandons the service of the Lord, even though others may change. That is his position of pure devotional service. And therefore he is worshipable. He's beyond the modes. And we know in Ramayana that he goes to Lanka and he's searching for Sita within the harem of Ravana and he's seeing all the ladies there shabbily dressed or improperly dressed and probably undressed also. They were amongst themselves, so they were very casual, and here is a brahmachari who's looking at all these scenes and thinking to himself that, should I be doing this? Is it my dharma? It's not my dharma, but it is my service, so I have to do it. But he was unaffected. There was no vikar in his mind, absolutely. Why? Because he was fixed in the service. That is the glory of being fixed in the service of the Lord, that you cannot be affected. And imagine, he's not a human. He's a vanara. And monkeys are kapi, are known for their sensuality and their greed. I mean, if you just observe them in Vrindavan, within half an hour or 15 minutes, you can see them doing eat, sleep, mate and defend. 15 minutes, all the four things. So how difficult it is. But still, Hanuman is a Bal Brahmachari. Certainly, he has transcended the modes. So, therefore, there are so many such examples of Lord being above the modes. We can see in Sri Chaitanya Charitamrita that when Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami had come from Vrindavan, he had come through Jharkhand forest and come to Jagannath Puri, taking the forest path. He had drunk some water, contaminated water. His body was completely filled with sores as a result. Some infection, skin infection, itching, pus, blood. And Mahaprabhu is embracing him. When he saw Sanatan Goswami, when Haridas Thakur introduced Sanatan Goswami, Sriman Mahaprabhu went and embraced him. But before he did that, Sanatan Goswami stepped back and he said, "Oh Lord, I'm suffering from this terrible skin infection. It could be contagious." You know, like today we see how coronavirus is contagious. I saw some WhatsApp clip of some police people holding one shield like this in front, transparent shield, and someone got out of the car and he was having that bacteria, virus in him, COVID. So the police inspector is saying, "Acha, ye utaro, wo utaro, sanitize karo, ye wo." He's so far away they are, out of fear of becoming infected, is it not? Who wants to get infected? And those times, who knew what was what, like, you know, viruses, bacteria, people just, if they saw some infection, they would stay far away. But Haridas Thakur is also embracing Sanatan Goswami, even though he's infected. Not just Mahaprabhu, but even Haridas Thakur used to embrace him. But Sanatan Goswami wouldn't mind. But when Mahaprabhu would come and embrace him, and all his transcendental body would be smeared with that oozing liquid. And Sanatan Goswami would feel so terrible. He would feel that I'm committing this offense to the Lord by doing all this. You know, the Lord's body is so pure. We should keep the altar pure. We should keep the temple pure. And just see what I am doing. Contaminating his own body with the filth from my body. You know, I mean, when we go to Vrindavan, we see these dogs who have, you know, become infected because they drink this open sewage water. In Vrindavan, you see these open sewers. So these dogs go and drink that, and they get infected. And you see them, they've got no hair, and they've got these spots and some boils. And I mean, to look at them is like quite gross, actually. And we certainly would not pet. Even the best of dog lovers will not go and, you know, probably lift the dog and, you know, touch the dog and all. No way. Something similar what Sanatan Goswami had. But Sri Mahaprabhu had no consideration. And he embraced him. And when he argued that, "How can you do this? Don't do this." And he says, "You are like my children. Haridas Thakur and Sanatan Goswami, you are like my children. And a mother does not mind when a child passes stool and urine. For them, it's, for the mother, it's in fact pleasurable to clean the stool and urine. In fact, the stool may actually seem like chandan and agruru and different scented oils. And we make chandan. Chandan is also brown and stool is also brown. And it looks like that. And for the mother, it's like that. And in fact, if someone says, and the mother will chastise. I still remember when I went to Bangalore, my cousin's sister, she had a small daughter, So I wanted to carry her. She's very tiny. And so before that I asked, "She has done her this, na?" "Kien?" Sister became so wild at me. "So babies are always pure, huh? Don't ask these questions." So I said, I'm sorry. Mothers get very wild. If you even say like that, you know, have you passed toilet to nahi karegi na? They look at you and stare at you. That's how they are. I remember in Vrindavan, Madan Mohan Temple, all were listening to katha. Somehow I was distracted or something. Some monkeys, you know, that they, Brajbasis, they bring a vanara to drive away all the other monkeys. So that vanara was right in front of me. So I got distracted. And all the children, and they're doing all these caricatures and all the monk and vanara and the. So I was just, I don't know what, I was just sitting there and what went through my mind, I don't know. Just jokingly, I told one boy, you're going there, na? Haath milao usse. Shake hands with the vanara. And suddenly I turned my head and I saw his mother staring at me like this. How dare you tell my child to go next to the monkey like this? I realized, my God. never play with, never fiddle with the children of the parents, you know. So if you say something like stool, but for the mother it's very pleasurable. So Mahaprabhu is saying, why are you saying like this? You have surrendered to me. This body belongs to me. And it gives me great pleasure. And then we know that eventually he embraced Sanatana Goswami and cured him of his disease. Before he had done that to Vasudev also. In fact, this is the true test of transcendence. Sometimes we may think that, you know, kya hai, and we make distinctions. Even while preaching, we may think, e kya hai. Like, so I remember I was sitting there once and one devotee came there. And I don't know whether he was devotee or not, but he came and sat there. And I was feeling like I was going to faint. It was so terrible. It was so terrible, the smell. I looked, my Lord, where is that smell coming from? I think I'll faint. Literally, I'm saying, it was so terrible. And I looked down, he was wearing socks. And he had not probably washed since the day he had purchased it. Probably for years actually. I was getting knocked out literally. And I said, I can't take it. And I just changed my place literally. How can you tolerate this? You know, we are very much within the modes of nature. You know, we need to take care of these things. We make distinction. We see, are kaun hai, kisko prachar kar rahe hai, thoda sa dur baith, thoda sa, please. You know, something like that. Ganda mat kar, or all these things. Or we may see, are ye kitna, itna wealthy party hai. Or chalo isko preaching karenge, thoda donation to milega. Pata nahi, shayad kuch iPad, phone wagera mil jaye. At least wo nahi, to at least mandir ke liye kuch donation mil jaye. To acha ho jayega. At least devotees will know I am also doing some preaching. I am contributing to the temple fund. Is some value to the temple. Something like that we see, make distinctions. Who knows? I still remember many years, 2005 when I came to Chapati. Somebody told me, come, we are going for a program. I said, okay. So there were some other Westerners also. One Westerner was there. So he also sat. We both sat in the Maruti and we went. So we went to a congregation's house. I don't remember whose it was. But that house was big. And I say big means really big. The hall itself was as big as this temple hall. It was mammoth. And I was thinking, oh, nice program and everything, kirtan, amazing prasad, served in silver plates. So then after that, our devotee, Siriam Brahmachari, said, okay, Prabhuji, now we are going for the next program. Okay. And we don't know what it was, the arrangement of the Lord. The next program was in a slum. I don't know if it was in which place, Dharavi or some place. The one devotee who actually lives in a slum. And then we sat in the car and we were going. We got trapped in traffic because the lanes were so narrow on the slum area. Only one car could go or come and some cycle wallas coming and a lot of noise. It was hot and all of a sudden a contrast. You know, and that devotee is saying, where are we going? We are going to a, I said, we are going to, I think, I was also new at that time. So I said, we are going to a congregation's house probably. And he lives in a slum. So I said, acha. So I said, look, I've had enough for the day. I'm going, please. Thank you very much. So he opened the door and he got out. He just left. Now, I don't know. Really, I don't know what was his motive, really. We cannot say generally, you know, what is the person's motive. He must have left for genuine Krishna service, higher services. We don't know. But certainly I was thinking, Bhagavan, kahan pe aa gaya yaar? You know, we make that, we have those material distinctions. Unfortunately, we are not beyond the modes. But we see the Lord, when He went to Mithila, He took the trouble all the way to go from Dwarka to Mithila. You can Google it, how long it takes if you were to take a flight from Dwarka to Mithila. That's a long flight. And they didn't have planes at that time. He had to go with all, not just alone, He went with all the rishis. Just simply to meet His humble devotee. Right? One simple Brahmin and a great king, Bahulashwa. Shrutadev and Bahulashwa. And both of them come to the Lord and invite them to their house for Brahman Bhojan and to stay for a few days. And the Lord, He made no distinctions. He just expanded Himself, and each one felt that the Lord has come only to my home. I have been blessed by His presence. But then Bahulashwa treated the Lord with such pomp and such glory. With all the best of the facilities, he was worshipped and requested the Lord to stay there. And the Lord agreed, and he stayed there at Bahulashwa's house, the king of Mithila, the descendant of Janak. And at the same time, he's gone to Shrutadev's house, and Shrutadev had nothing. In fact, it is said that Vishnu Chakravarti Thakur so beautifully explains that he was so poor that he had to actually go to his neighbor's house to beg chatai, because there were so many people and only a few chatais at home. So he brought the chatais and made all the rishis sit there, and he started dancing and swaying his chadar and offered simple fruits, roots, gangajal, tulsi. So humble offerings, and said, Lord, please, will you stay at my house in this humble accommodation for a few days? And the Lord said, all right. He did not say, AC kidhar hai? Kahan hai? Itne sare log kahan rahenge? Jagah to hona chahiye. Personal space hona chahiye thoda sa. Kya itne sare maharishi log hain sab? Come on, please. थोड़ा हम बहुलाश्वर के घर, वहाँ महल है उनका, थोड़ा हर एक के लिए एक एक रूम होगा वहाँ पर, ये आपका एक छोटे से कुटीर में, इतना वी लव टू गो आउटसाइड एंड स्लीप इन द नाइट, हू नोस, यू नो, आई मीन लॉर्ड माइट हैव थॉट ऑल दोस थिंग्स. लक्ष्मीपति द्वारका 16,108 पैलेसेस, 900,000 पैलेसेस ओवरऑल, एंड हियर ही श्रुतदेव इज सेइंग यू मे हैव टू स्लीप ऑन द फ्लोर. प्रोबेबली द लॉर्ड हैज स्लेप्ट ऑन द फ्लोर. ही नेवर हैड कॉट्स, नन, ही वाज अ सिंपल ब्राह्मिन. एंड वी हियर that blessed him equally, equal blessings to all. Lord made no distinction. Truly, the Lord is beyond the modes. His humility, that's why it is said, Vyadasya charanam dhruvasya ca vayo vidya virendrasya ka kubjaya kim naam rupam adhikam kim tas sudhamno dhanam vamshah ko vidurasya yadava pater ugrasya kim paurusham bhakti tushyati kevalam nachagunair bhakti priyo madhava. The Lord does not see any external. Yadasya charanam. What was the etiquette of hunters like Mrigari, Valmiki, Guha? Gajendrasya ka vidya. What knowledge did Gajendra have? What maturity did Dhruv have, Prahlad have? So we see that so many such things. What opulence did Ugrasen have? What power did he have? What beauty did Kubja have? All these material qualities are not at all considered. Gopis, when Krishna blew the flute, gopis were coming, flocking, and they were in a hurry to dress, and they're dressing all the thing that they were supposed to wear on the top, they're wearing down. The thing that they had to wear on the down, they're wearing on the top. They're putting kajal, they're putting on the lips. Lipstick they're putting probably in the eyes. When asked, what are you doing? Why don't you dress properly at least? He says, doesn't matter. The Lord doesn't see these things. He's beyond. He's seeing our devotion, he's seeing our love. So truly, that's why we worship the Lord. He is a truly worshipable Aradhya Dev. All are respectable, all the gods respect them. We can go to their temple. I remember when I was in Andhra Pradesh, One devotee had called me for a course there and lecture in some colleges. I went there. So that devotee's aunt had a temple, a Durga temple. And she invited me. She thought I was like representing the monk, the Brahmachari ashram of Chopardi. So she said, can you come to my temple? I said, yes. And then that one devotee is asking me, one that friend who invited me, his friend is asking me, Prabhuji, Durga temple, will you go? Well, what's wrong? Kya ho gaya matlab? Kya koi apradh hai kya? So then he kept quiet. I went to Durga temple, I did pranam and Hare Krishna. I spoke to that Mataji, you know, and I left and spoke to my friends and all. So I said, Prabhuji, I'm very happy. So I said, why? I heard ISKCON devotees don't go to any temple. Durga and all, never. I said, who said you can't go? Why not? I mean, they're all the servants of the Lord. They're all serving. So why should we not respect them? Respect them, but we worship Krishna. No problem. So I'm very happy, Prabhuji, to know that ISKCON people are not fanatic. So I said, well, you know, I think in our temple everyone is like that. Probably you've not met the right kind of people. You know, but yeah, sometimes you get such kind of people. So in that way, by understanding and studying the Lord's janma and karma, we can understand that he's divya. Janma karma chame divyam. That's why he advises us to study his janma and karma, so that we come to this conclusion that he's truly transcendental, beyond the modes. And if we take his shelter, then we can go beyond the modes. Hare Krishna. Srila Prabhupada ki jai, Srimad Bhagavat Purana ki jai. Please forgive me, I really went way beyond the time. Hare Krishna.